And now it's time for The Last Call with Pastor Marty Nutter of Faith Lutheran Church in Tullahoma.
24 words from the Bible serve as my text this morning, and they're among the most well-known words in all of Scripture. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And these words were spoken by Jesus concerning himself. The first half of John chapter 3 is a discourse. It's a conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and he was a member of the Jewish ruling council. And secretly, Nicodemus was a believer. He believed that Jesus was who he said he was, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And later at the death of Jesus, it would be Nicodemus, along with Joseph of Arimathea, who would take Jesus' body down from the cross and lay Jesus in that tomb, Joseph's tomb, in which no one had ever been laid. The Bible tells us, John 19, verses 38 and following, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jews. Joseph, a disciple, just like Nicodemus. And the Bible tells us, John chapter 19, Joseph was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night, referring to our gospel lesson for today. Nicodemus had come to Jesus by night because he was afraid of his fellow Pharisees of being seen with Jesus. And so he comes to Jesus by night. And it was in that conversation that night that Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." And it was also at this point that these 24 very important words would first be spoken by Jesus, first toward Nicodemus, and then down through the ages to this day, to you and me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The entire gospel comes to focus in this verse. God's love is not static or self-centered. It reaches out and draws others in. And here God sets the pattern of true love. When you love someone dearly, you're willing to give freely to the point of self-sacrifice. God paid dearly with the life of his own Son, the highest price he could pay. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. The Bible says, 1 John chapter 4, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. God doesn't just love people in America or just people in southern Middle Tennessee, but people everywhere, on every continent, every tribe, every race. The blood of Jesus is a perfect match for every blood type, for every person. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him. You see, God is no respecter of persons. That whoever believes in him, whether black or white, rich or poor, beggar, man, thief, whoever believes in him. I remember when our next door neighbor, Sally Wilcox, had lived next door to us. Now, she moved several years ago because her husband had died and she wanted to downsize. But I remember her wearing a T-shirt that said on it, "I'm a whosoever." And towards the bottom of that T-shirt, it said John 3, verse 16. And I said, "Sally, I really love your T-shirt." She said, "Thanks. I was at a women's retreat with women from our church, and this was the theme. I'm a whosoever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever or whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Whosoever believes in Jesus will not perish. Now, what does that mean to believe in Jesus? People believe that Jesus was a historical figure, that he actually lived and walked on this earth some 2,000 years ago. There's an intellectual assent to his life and being. Now, in that sense, I believe in Abraham Lincoln, that he was a historical figure who actually lived and served as President of the United States during our nation's darkest hours. So it's not so much if a person believes in Jesus in that sense, so much as what does one believe about him. At the foot of Mount Hermon in Caesarea Philippi, Jesus once asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And then after their responses, he asked his disciples, "And who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter answered Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Do you believe that? The Bible declares, Acts 4, verse 12, "For there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." Do you believe that? Jesus, in speaking to Martha after the death of her brother Lazarus, said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." And then Jesus asked Martha, "Do you believe that?" And Martha said to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God who has come into the world." Do you believe this? It's not so much if you believe in Jesus as it is what do you believe about him. Some time ago, I conducted a funeral of a young man, and I remember visiting with him in his home about this very question, "Who is Jesus?" And we talked about Jesus as the Son of God, the Savior of the world, who has gone to prepare a place for us in heaven. And then closely aligned to that question is, what do you believe about yourself? And if you and I are truly honest with ourselves, we must admit that we're broken people, that I'm not a self-made man or a self-made woman, that I thought that I was, but I'm not. And there's this big hole in my life that I cannot fix. I can't repair it. I'm broken, and I've broken God's law, that I've lied, that I've cheated, that I've stolen. I've lived a life apart from God, and there is no rest in me. How can I make things right in my relationship towards God? And I soon find out that no matter how hard I try, I can't do it. I cannot square myself with God. I cannot put myself right with him because I'm a sinner and I continue to sin. The good that I would, I do not. The evil that I do not want to do, I keep on doing. Wretched man that I am. And hear what the world says. Just keep on trying. But let me tell you, it's all for naught. It's useless. There are two types of religions in the world, and only two. One is right, and the other is wrong. And they can best be explained with this illustration. You're walking along one day when suddenly you fall into a very large hole, and you start digging and scratching trying to get out, and you look behind you and there's a venomous snake. Now you're really afraid, but you can't get out of the hole, and along comes a Hindu and says absorption into the deity is a way to God, and you reach this through the eightfold path of virtue. Strive, contemplate, maybe someday you'll get out of the hole, and he leaves you in the hole. And along comes a Muslim, and he says, all in this world is Allah's will. This too must be his will for you. And he goes on his way and leaves you in the hole. And along comes Jesus Christ. And without saying a word, he jumps into the hole with you and he pushes you out of the hole. And he gets bit by the snake and falls over dead. But you walk away a free man. And I'm happy to say that Jesus rose from the dead on that third day so that God has covered that hole. All other religions tell us what man must do. Christianity, the message of Jesus Christ, and the message of Jesus Christ alone, tells us what God has done to bring us salvation. And for there is salvation in no one else, for there has not been given another name under heaven by which we must be saved. Jesus Christ is the way, the only way, and he is the truth and the life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. A life that begins now while we live in the flesh, and a life that continues for all eternity. Amen.
Love one another, for love is of God. He who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love.
This may well be your last call to ever hear and respond to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't delay. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2.